China today opened the world's longest sea bridge, linking Hong Kong to the mainland. China says the bridge will boost the economy, but 7 workers died during its construction, and conservationists worry the bridge could kill off the endangered Chinese white dolphin. CNN international correspondent Will Ripley joins us now from Hong Kong on Skype. And Will, describe this bridge, the sheer scale of it.
You know, China does infrastructure projects. They really rarely do anything small. But even by Beijing standards, this thing is big. It is now the largest sea crossing ever, the longest. It's 34 miles connecting Hong Kong and Macau, the two Chinese territories, to the mainland city of Zhuhai. China's kind of argument is that it cuts the travel time from 3 hours to 30 minutes. But the catch is that Hong Kongers who paid, you know, through their taxes, $9 billion of the $20 billion budget, they can't even drive their cars on it. They would need a special permit. Only buses and government vehicles can go on the bridge. So there are a lot of lawmakers and critics here who say this is a big white elephant. Beijing sending a symbol to Hong Kong, which had the umbrella movement protests a few years back, that they are under the increasingly firm grip of the mainland and not to forget it.
Yeah, what is the political significance of linking Hong Kong with, it's almost like an umbilical cord to the mainland?
That's exactly how one lawmaker here, Claudia Mo, described it to me today. And when you're flying in to Hong Kong, you see this long bridge. I mean, it's really a striking sight. Just 1 month ago today, they opened up a high-speed rail line connecting Hong Kong to Guangzhou, China. Step by step, people here feel like Beijing is physically putting its stamp on this city.
$20 billion, a decade to build. But the government, is making the argument that there is an economic boost to be had here. Is that true?
They are expecting an influx in mainland Chinese tourists, you know, on those buses that are going to be allowed to travel on the bridge, because certainly not private cars. Hong Kong already has a pretty massive tourism industry. 56 million tourists per year, which is about 20 million more than the UK, which is a much larger country. So the retail sector, the service industry could benefit, but at what cost to the city itself, to things like to traffic, to the citizens and their quality of life? You know, people already are concerned that when you walk down the sidewalks, it's so crowded, primarily with mainland tourists, that it's difficult to get around some of the more populated areas in the city. The lines at tourist attractions like the tram that goes up to the peak, which gives you a nice overview of the city, that is always, you know, multiple hours, especially during, you know, busy times of the day. So people are fearful that those kinds of things are going to get worse for the people actually living in Hong Kong as more visitors flock here.
How much does this bolster President Xi's image? We've been reporting so much about China's efforts to undertake these huge infrastructure projects in places like the South China Sea, military infrastructure projects. Is this a part of that in a way?
I mean, China prides itself in completing these massive projects. And yes, those artificial islands in the South China Sea, obviously controversial, but that's China putting its stamp on territory that it claims, even though those claims are rejected by the United States and many countries here in the region and around the world. As far as, you know, other, you know, civilian type infrastructure, this is now the 6th largest bridge in the world, the one that is opening here in Hong Kong. Guess where the other 5 largest bridges are? They're all located in China. And it just goes to show that, you know, China wants to prove to the world that it can get these things done. And the bridge itself it really is a wonder of engineering. They have 4.5 times the steel of San Francisco's Golden Gate Bridge, 2 artificial islands, an undersea tunnel. You know, even though it took 9 years to build and, you know, there were considerable delays, it is an absolutely breathtaking sight to look at it, to look at a bridge that on a clear day goes as far as the eye can see.
Wow. And were you on it?
We've been on it. We haven't been able to cross over to the Chinese side. As a journalist, it's actually very difficult for me to go into China without a very extensive visa process. But for people who live in Hong Kong, they'll be able to buy a ticket, get on a bus, and for a significantly less money than what they have to pay right now, they'll be able to travel much more quickly and efficiently. But for Hong Kongers who'd like to maintain their sense of semi-independence and don't want even more Chinese influence than what there already is, well, obviously they're concerned. You know, one lawmaker told me today that even though 2047 is supposed to be the deadline that China allows Hong Kong to maintain its capitalist system and way of life without interference, she feels, and many others feel, that this bridge has moved up that 2047 date by maybe a decade or two, which means that for people growing up here in Hong Kong, the message is being sent very clearly. They are part of the mainland, and they have to always remember that it's the motherland with a capital M. No negotiations, no questions asked, and certainly no protests.
CNN international correspondent Will Ripley speaking with us from Hong Kong about the world's longest sea crossing bridge that opened today, linking Hong Kong to mainland China. Will, thanks. Very interesting.
All right. Cheers.